just been so blessed by her life. I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to guide and lead in that family. Help them to love one another and to put you first. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, like I said, I'm probably just going to go at 20 minutes at the most. I taught Ecclesiastes during the Bible Institute. And I'm going to try to turn this on again, Robert. And we never found the recordings. So it's one of the few things that I had. Well, all of my recordings have been destroyed except for the Bible college classes. When I was moving, I literally had thousands of recordings, and the thing crossed my mind. That's because I turned it off to save the battery. Crossed my mind. Well, I need to keep all this, including all my radio broadcasts when I was still in Bible college. Somebody might want them, and then the Lord was like, "Oh, really?" And I took them right out to this big dumpster we had, and I just chucked them all in the dumpster. And, you know, it was just one of those things. I mean, it's a vain thing, it can be. So we kept the recordings that were verse by verse, but got rid of everything else. And since I've grown so much in the Lord, I am actually probably quite relieved that there are no early recordings of me. So, you know, you just, once you've been in the ministry 35 years, you're sort of relieved that you don't have your 1 and 2 and 3 year-old recordings. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7, some great truths in this chapter. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Boy, I tell you what, we probably shouldn't have read that verse tonight on the day of feasting, especially as I see Al getting ready to roll out into the middle pew, middle out of his pew. verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. And you might think, boy, that's some unusual. Remember, the whole point of Ecclesiastes is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and yet he married 1,000 women, 1,000 wives, against God's will, and those wives turned his heart away from God, as any woman will do when you get outside the will of God, as any man will do to a woman when you get outside the will of God. So he wrote this, and the context is under the sun. So he's not writing from a spiritual, heavenly perspective. He's writing from a worldly, carnal perspective many times in Ecclesiastes. So when you read this, sorrow is better than laughter. Well, laughter is the best medicine, you know. Laughter's a good, well, because both are true. But when you're looking under the sun and you're struggling with life, you know, you see that. But then he goes in verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. Well, that's a truth. Nothing wrong with that. And by the way, a good name is one of the most important things you own, if you still own it. I would never want my name to be known as somebody that was dishonest, disloyal, you know, hurtful toward others, purposefully. I mean, a good name is very important. Verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. Now, mirth has the idea of partying. So there's nothing wrong with having a good time, you know, playing games. There's nothing wrong with, you know, getting together and enjoying yourself. But again, we're looking at contrasts here. Verse 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And again, that's obvious. That contrast's obvious. 6, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. He says vanity and vexation of spirit quite a bit through this book. And verse 7, surely oppression maketh the wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. You know, a lot of people, they're looking for a fight. They're looking for somebody that they can fight with because that's who and what they are. Don't be like that. I mean, be angry. Sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I mean, I've told you, one of the things I had a hard time learning was forgiveness. I had to learn to forgive because if you don't, that unforgiveness will destroy you and eat you alive. You've got to be careful with that. By the way, pray for my niece. Is that who she is? My brother's daughter. She's having a baby tonight or in the morning. They, you know, dilated all that stuff they put in the email. You know, goodness, centimeters, you know. Anyway, I'm told it's going to happen, whatever all that means. Look at the, oh, boy, I mentioned that one word, you know, that non, you know, never mind. What? Oh, my goodness. That's because y'all are laughing. If you didn't respond to it, you go, okay, now respond to something that isn't going to make me turn red. Like Miss Nina. You know, I love that. I got to tell you, when she did, because, you know, you hear her calling out, so I try not to look at her because, you know, she might be blurting something out, and then it's embarrassing. But then she'll catch my eye, and she'll be just like, yes, yes. I love that. I love it. So, Carrie, as you age, and once you get up there in your 80s or 90s or whatever it's going to be, you can take her place doing that. You don't have to do it till then. Look at verse 7. Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing. I was all the way in verse 9. Be not hasty, and I've got all these verses next to it, but I'm not going to probably cross-reference anything. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Now, isn't that odd today? I mean, remember the good old days. Were they really? I mean, listen, this country has been aborting babies for a long time. There's not really good old days when you start thinking about that context. Yeah, we may have been, you know, after 9/11, 2, 3, 4 days, maybe 2 weeks, you know, we were God bless America. We were the flag, the country, the military. There were even prayers at football games in public schools. You know, yeah, we were there for a little while, about that long in this country. Same thing, you know, we turned to God, you know, for a short period of time. But those former days aren't any better. And listen, perilous times are coming, or they're already here. I've read up some stuff, and I just read a little bit anymore on what they're saying is going to happen with a new administration. There will never be another administration. That's what they're saying. Control the vote, you control the country, and however you control it, legally or otherwise. So don't dwell on the former days. That's the problem. For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Don't dwell on the past, whether it's good or bad. But don't get an unrealistic, rosy view of the past and say, oh man, everything in the past was so great. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there's profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. If you go and you follow the passages, and I won't take you there, but in Proverbs 8, wisdom is personified. She, it says. Wisdom is the principal thing, are some verses in the Bible. Pray for wisdom. Why? God will give it to you liberally. He won't upbraid you for asking for it. He wants us to pray for wisdom. If you pray and you're a praying person, you ought to pray for wisdom every day. And if you're not a praying person, you need to pray for wisdom because you're not very wise for not praying. So pray for wisdom because God will give it to you. You young people back there, you ought to pray every single day, Lord, make me wise. Give me wisdom. And then what will happen is you'll start making decisions that are better decisions than you ever thought was possible in your life. You'll start making those decisions that are not going to destroy your life, are not going to put you on a path that you shouldn't go. It's very important to pray for wisdom. Look at 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which He hath made crooked? Boy, that's just think about how wise that is. If God made it crooked, who are you to think you're going to make it straight? Sometimes we beat our head up against the wall. Now, I don't like, and I've told you this, I don't like to hear, I shipped something to somebody the other day, and the post office might have taken it before it ever got out of here. And I said something, and the person said, well, if the Lord wanted me to have it, I would have it. That's not true. That's Calvinism. That is a Calvinistic perspective. You don't get in a rut of thinking if it happened, it must be God's will. God is not willing that any should perish. People are perishing. Why? God's will is not always done. If God's will is not always done there, it is not always done when there's a baby aborted. Well, I guess it was God's will. Think about that. Think about how preposterous that sounds. And then think about all the other things you apply it to. Do not get in the rut of saying, well, if it was the Lord's will, it would be done. You pray for the Lord's will. But when it's done or not done, what you've prayed for, don't think, well, the will of God was done. If somebody breaks into your house and steals one of your most precious possessions, which for many of you would be a gun, Hollett, oh, Robert, maybe over here too, over there. I don't know. There? Yeah, there. Oh, man, I tell you. There? You're going to go, well, I guess it was the will of God. You're not going to say that. You're going to say, give me another one. Let me find that guy and I'll show him what they're for. You know, in other words, you're not, but we do it in so many other respects. Let's not do that in this church. If something happens in this church, do not think that because it happened, ipso facto, it's the will of God. You know, so change your mindset, change your speech, change your thought process, because just think of the worst thing you can think of and think that you would never say, well, I guess it was the will of God for that. Verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. So God has prosperity and has adversity. When you have adversity come in your life, don't think automatically it's not the will of God. Somebody gets sick. Well, it's not the will of God for anybody to be sick. That's not true either. God brings adversity into your life to improve you, to make you better, to make you stronger, to make you so that you can get into the future and face the things that He knows are in your future. If I had not gone through the things that I went through in my life, I would have quit 20 or 30 or 40 times. I don't quit because of the things that I have experienced. That's just the way it is. And those things have defined me, made me, strengthened me, and about destroyed me at times. So what do you look at? Well, you know, it wasn't God's will because it almost destroyed me. It was just, you're in it and you're going, oh, it can't be what God wants. Sometimes it is. But remember this, Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. God's will was for Jesus to go to the cross, but he says, woe be to the man that does it. So then you look at it and go, well, God made Judas do it. No, Judas was a tool that God allowed to let it happen to bring about what he eventually wanted, and that was his son going to the cross. So there's two sides to every coin. I don't want you to think, well, God's will is never done, because it is. You know, we look at the things that this church went through. You can say, well, it was God's will. Well, no, it wasn't. I don't know. I cannot tell you what all was God's will and what all was man's doing. It's a tough call. I can tell you this, whatever part you play in anything, you glorify Him. You keep Him first, you keep Him in the sights, and then the waters get clear and they're not so murky. What makes the waters murky is whenever you're on the edge, you're over the edge, and you're doing things out of self-exaltation or self-will, then you can't figure anything out. You have to get God in it. You have to put God first. You have to depend upon God. You have to exalt God. And if you don't do that, then everything gets really unclear. That's why young people, for example, you get in a relationship you're not supposed to be in, your heart gets broken, and then you're going, then it's just everything, it's just a nightmare to get out of. Don't get with the wrong person. Don't be unequally yoked together. That's the rule. You know what I did when I met somebody, and it was a girl, and God showed me I was not to marry her. I broke off the relationship as soon as I knew that. Well, as soon as I knew that. As soon as I was smart enough to agree with it. In other words, that's what you have. So, in other words, you look at this thing and listen, that goes for friendships too. If God shows you that a friend is detrimental to you, you break off that friendship. It doesn't mean you can't be friends with people outside this church. You better be. You should be. But it means when you see they're going to bring you down before you bring them up. Because that's the way the world is. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But there's only pleasure for a season. So be careful in those relationships. That goes for children, goes for adults and everybody else. If you see yourself drifting in the wrong direction, stop the direction as soon as you can. Verse 14, 15. I didn't finish 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one against the other to the end that man should find nothing after himself. Verse 15, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There's a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Isn't that odd? You think, why didn't God kill all the wicked people early? Because I'd have been dead. You'd have been dead. See, we forget. We just look at where we are right now and we think, well, God, judge all the bad people. You're bad. We're all bad. We all sin. We all fail God. So before we pronounce judgment on everybody else, consider thyself. Because God would have knocked me off a long time ago if it was all based on being right with Him all the time. One more verse I'm going to jump over because this one is life-changing to me. I have it like this. I have it underlined. I have it bolded. I have all of it yellow highlighted. I have red down like this with asterisks, 7 asterisks down the side. Do I think this last point is important? According to that, I do. And let me just show you. So you can, I don't know if you can see it, but I will try to show you. So you look at these two pages. It's going to be on my left-hand side. Everybody see it? That's it. So this is what I think. This is the life-changing verse for me. I may have already given it to you, but I give it to you again. Verse 21. Take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine heart, their own heart knoweth, that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Well, look at what they said about me, you might say. So you've never said anything about anybody that you shouldn't say. Then you go, well, they shouldn't have said that about me. It was unfair, unkind, not right, untruthful, whatever. and then you let it go. Why? Consider yourself whether you've done the very thing. Because here's the thing. God does not accept hypocrisy. You can't, you know, the whole thing in judging. Judge not that you be not judged. Why? For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. So if you judge righteously, do you want to be judged righteously? Judge righteously. This verse warns you. You judge unrighteously. Well, they shouldn't have said that about me. Nobody should ever talk about bad about me because, and you just go down this long path of saying that. When you yourself know you are guilty of the very thing that you are judging somebody else for. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. So if you judge unrighteously, how are you going to be judged by others? Unrighteously. So be careful about that. Be careful about those things. Let me just tell you. There are certain verses like that that change me. I am not who I was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Because if I was right and somebody else was wrong, man, it was like, I'm right. They're wrong. I get my pound of flesh. I don't live like that anymore. Now, you may see me and I may do that. What's that? I'm being human. I'm not living according to the precepts that I have learned. And I'm probably being hypocritical because I'm telling you I'm not like that anymore. So then I regress and I get like that one time. And then the Lord just sort of spanks me. He chastens me. Just like He'll do every child of His. So just learn to live by that. And it is 8:01. Said I was going to quit at 8. And today I was told to preach longer because of the chicken. Now, hey, then I come in here to preach and nobody's here. I'm thinking, well, I was told to preach longer. Now I'm told not to preach. Then I was told to come preach in the fellowship hall. Robert, you weren't there. They were pressing me to, you know, have their coffee. And, you know, we need to set up live stream out there, but it needs to be on the audience. Yeah, that's right. Who knows why? It doesn't matter. It's okay, Arlene. Arlene looked at you like, what do you have to defend yourself for? Yeah, she's going to find out tonight. She wants to know what you've been doing, that you're guilty. All right, let's all stand together. Thank you for coming. Sometimes things are said just to make your head spin, Arlene. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct. Lord, we thank you of today, especially those three young girls singing. What a blessing, Lord. I'm in awe at how they move my heart and move the hearts of so many people in the service today. And Lord, I just pray that they will use their talents to thy glory. And Lord, that you would be honored by what they do because they always keep their focus on thee. Lord, they and us and each of us need to give you all the glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Thank you. Thank you. I really mean thank you for coming over. I thought I was going to be here alone.
Thank you for coming.